This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Tony.
What it do? Boom.
So when fall season comes around, diet is very important because everybody's been known to put on a few pounds. So you want to like really be careful or kind of like be aware of what you eat. So you might be looking for some wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days. Factor is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. It can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. Now, if you don't have a lot of time, or even if you like to meal prep, but you don't have time to meal prep, with Factor, you can skip the extra trip to the grocery store, the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up, too, while still getting the flavor and the nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy to go back to crushing your goals. You can choose from 34 weekly flavor-packed, fresh, never-frozen meals ready to eat in just literally 2 minutes. You level up with Gourmet Plus options, prepared to perfection by chefs and ready to eat in record time, and you can treat yourself to upscale meals with premium ingredients like broccolini, leeks, truffle butter, and asparagus. And if you're busy during the day and you don't have time for lunch, or you got a job and you just are on the go, keep up your energy with the lunch to go. It's effortless, wholesome meals like grain bowls and salad toppers, and they're ready to eat when you're on the go, and there's no microwave required for you. So looking for calorie-conscious options during the busy season? Try delicious dietitian-approved calorie smart meal with around or less than 550 calories per serving. And if you need an extra boost to support your wellness goals and feel your best as you tackle busy autumn, try Protein Plus meal with 30 grams of protein or more per serving. Now, these factory meals are delicious. You can round out your meal and replenish your snack supply with an assortment of 45-plus add-ons, including breakfast items like our delicious apple cinnamon pancakes, bacon and cheddar egg bites, that's a favorite of yours, breakfast skillets. With Factor, you can rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. We offset 100% of our delivery emissions, source 100% renewable electricity for our production sites and offices if you're interested in stuff like that. This September, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door, ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/K150 and use K150 to get this. This is the biggest discount we've ever had. 50% off. That's code K150 at factormeals.com/K150 to get 50% off. FACTORMEALS.com/K10050. Food's delicious. Keeps you healthy. Check it out.
You won't go wrong. We all try it. We all like it. It's nutritional. They have vegan things. They have all protein. They have meal plans. I mean, anything you want to do, they'll do it for you. And it tastes great. And it's healthy. As usual, we're into wellness here. So, you know, get your Factor meals. Boom.
Next one's from William Molina Jr. The subject is Jade Cargill, WWE. Hello, K100 crew. Triple H mentioned on Twitter that he expects the dominant Cargill to change the game. Questions. To what extent does such a significant endorsement bolster and impede Jade's prospects upon her WWE debut? Given the magnitude of this endorsement, is she slated for an immediate debut on the main roster, or will she undergo NXT developmental first? I don't know. I'll trust them to know if she's ready or not. You know, like I said, I think she's still green, but she's working with all those people over in AEW that are all from the indies. A lot of them have never been through the WWE system. You know, it's different working people in WWE that have been through developmental or been like, you know, they're seasoned. There's, you know, they know what they're doing. In AEW, you can tell, like you said, like, you know, they don't have production meetings. The agents don't know what's going on with match to match with each other. The wrestlers, you know, are doing stuff on their own. And like I'm saying, you know, the one thing I do know, she's going to get a huge push. Because what happened to the other person that they snatched from AEW, Cody Rhodes? Huge push.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think they're just laying the red carpet out for MJF when he's ready to come over there. They're just saying, like, look, dude, we're gonna, hey, you want to come over and fight? You want to come over and main event a pay per view for the belt? Like that? That's the type of push that they're giving these people. You know. So what do you think about that, Cody?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I would send her at NXT, but there's such good workers over there that if she's a fast learner, she seems to be pretty bright. You know, she can be in a match with a Becky Lynch or a Charlotte or a Rhea Ripley who can lead her around and make her look good and say, and you don't have to do too much right now. Just do this, this, and this, and I'll do the rest. So I could see in the main roster, I would send her an NXT person. Yeah, there's no way the guy asked if it impedes or push or some shit like that. What do you say?
By Triple H giving her such a strong endorsement, could that harm her or help her?
No, zero harm. Bro, the boss,
yeah, why
is
would
saying
that harm
you're the goods.
If she shows up, maybe, if she stinks, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe no, because maybe jealousy with the other wrestlers, maybe.
Yeah.
Only he knows. All right.
Hey, next is from, this is interesting, Sugata Chanko. Is AEW still a threat? Good day, K100 crew. Cornette has made this point a few times. The WWE were probably worried when they first heard that a billionaire was starting a wrestling promotion, but after seeing it, that fear dissipated because it's just a bunch of childish chaos. Now that it's been 4 years and AEW's hit its ceiling while WWE is in a boom period, can they still be considered a threat or a rival? WWE took Cody and made him a superstar. They're going to make him make Jade a superstar, and if MJF signs, he'll be this generation's Ric Flair. Is it still possible for AEW to compete with WWE at any level currently? No, it's not, but I'm hearing that they're going to get a considerable raise in their TV rights deal, right? If Tony could use that money to up the production quality on the show, they might be able to compete with them, because on a production level, when you're talking about, you know, video package production, presentation of the characters, like they're like a lot of money ahead of AEW, and it's very visual. Like a lot of the wrestlers come out in shorts and white t-shirts on the show and everything. That should not happen in a company that's trying to compete with WWE. You know, and I think they put the money into the production, and make the visual product look better, then they might be able to compete. What do you think about that, Conan?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. But right now, as it is, they're not a threat right now. Okay, we'll just look. Next one's from
Jimmy Evans.
Jimmy Evans is somebody who's Lance Storm Smug. Hey, Conan D, I've been watching a lot of The Dark Side of the Ring and can't get past the way Lance Storm reflects on the past. Example, he basically says he wishes he was part of the Body Donnas instead of Pritchard. My question is, how was he in person? Was he always pissy about a spot? He even bitches about Russo in an episode, but Russo used him in a great way and made him look strong with all those Canadian titles at WCW. How do you guys feel about it? Thanks, and that's Jim Evans from Pennsylvania. I get along with Lance Storm because he's a very polite, well-mannered guy, and he's very, very intelligent. He just has a completely different outlook on professional wrestling than I do. Like, just completely different. And it's fine. You know, he's more into, you know, like Bret Hart style and stuff. I'm more of character over the, you know, the showmanship of wrestling and stuff. You know, just, we would disagree on a lot of stuff. But yeah, it is absurd that he's elected to, you know, join in with the Wrestling Observer guys to basically demonize Russo when Russo gave him his best, you know, for television viewership and stuff, everything, his best push he's ever had in his career.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'll find anybody that can argue with that. I just look at somebody like that, I'm disappointed in him for acting that way. What do you
think? So just real quick, I get along with Lance, always have, great guy, very right. Dry wit like Dean Malenko. And
he's very angry with me. But they used to have, they say when you're in the car with him, let me finish this real quick. Right. When you're in the car with him, he always used to have all the dials on the car at 90 degrees. Like they were all pointing at like the whatever the number is, like right at the top and everything. And like Christian would tell me, he would like Cage just tell me to mess with them. He would like lean over and like turn one of the, like if Lance left the car, he'd come back in, he'd take the dials and like he'd adjust them where they would be. And Lance would get in the car and look at that and have to adjust them, put them all back at 90 degrees. That's how
it's like OCD shit. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, just kind of look at him, bro. The guy's wearing a fucking military haircut, you know, like from the 50s and shit.
Wasn't in the service.
No reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
No reason whatsoever. Like, you know, I'm kind of a, you know, stickler type of by the book, you know, type of guy, but I like Lance a lot. Now let me ask you a question. So, what was the deal with, I'm sure you've told me before, but I forgot why, if he did get a good push from Russo, except for at the end, what is he mad about?
Just in like the way books. This is right. You know, that's it.
Crash TV. Like, he wasn't a fan of the Crash TV.
You know, all the issues all the issues people have with Vince Russo are with the way he wrote television. Because we know, like, we've known this guy for years. Anybody that could like be upset with Vince on a personal level, it's like, well, what is this guy doing to make you upset? He doesn't.
Well, bro, here's the problem.
He doesn't like. He's just like the way he writes TV. It's like,
here's the problem with Vince, and you have to admit this. Vince, when he's around us, he's funny. You know, he has a good heart, and he's a good guy. Here's the thing, bro. When he's online, whether it's shtick or not shtick, he's this loud, boisterous, very sensitive, you know, can dish it out, but he can't take it type of thing. And his image or whatever persona on social media for a lot of people is not a good look, bro. That's the way I see it. You know,
I would 100% agree with that. I would, but like I said, if you know Vince on a personal, in person level,
he's cool as shit.
It's like, there's nothing you can be upset for. You'd almost feel bad for being upset with the guy. You know, like I said, if you actually met him and hung out,
he doesn't come off like that at all. You know, and he's very defensive, and you know, and he likes it. Right. So you know him better than I do.
Yeah, exactly. You're 100%. I agree with all that. Conan, you know, like, we've talked a lot about a feminization, you know, men are becoming more feminine.
Right.
Like, that's pretty obvious, right?
Feminization of America, 100%.
Well, men are in decline. And the average strength in men has decreased. Sperm counts are at an all-time low. Depression is at an all-time high. We're not talking about it enough. But it's time to turn things around. The reason? Testosterone levels are under attack from a host of chemicals that we are exposed to every day. Soaps, deodorants, shampoos, and shower gels are full of endocrine disruptors. Vaping destroys enzymes linked to testosterone production. Cell phones in your pocket kill sperm count. Seed oils are in so many foods you don't even realize, and block androgen receptors, and unfiltered water in most fruits and vegetables contain chemicals and pesticides that have literally caused feminization of male frogs in studies. There's so many things out there that are causing testosterone decline. More important than ever to be proactive and boosting your own testosterone levels with proven ingredients like the ones found in the Legacy Testat. Here our boy Nick Alves is to save the day for masculinity. TestX9 is a Legacy Sports Nutrition's best-selling product, and so many of our listeners have already used it and reported phenomenal results in their energy, strength, sex drive. Compounding it with T-Assist adds even more proven test-boosting ingredients as well as estrogen inhibitors to ensure that your masculinity stays exactly where it needs to be. Every ingredient in TestX9 is clinically proven to stimulate natural testosterone production, and for complete transparency, there are links posted on the site to external studies for each ingredient so you can make an informed decision. Toxic masculinity is not a thing. Toxins killing masculinity is. Protect yourself and stay healthy. Stop waiting. Level up now at LegacySupps.com and always use the code K100 for a discount and to support the show. That's LegacySupps.com. Level up with the Legacy and use code K100.
Right, and this isn't just an ad. Everything that Disco just said is absolutely true. But, you know, as you all know, testosterone, you know, promotes strength, stamina, helps your libido, estrogen control, has everything to maintain your testosterone. Because as we know, after a certain age, your testosterone starts to naturally dip.
But definitely check out the products that Nick promotes.
Yeah, and for women's supplements, Mickey James has her own line. But check out everything they do. This is one of our best-selling products. And there's a reason, because it works. And it has a lot of people that come back and keep using. They've been with us for years now because our listeners are using it. Like, we do a lot of stuff for wellness. You notice most of our ads are all about wellness, your hygiene, your health. And this is just another example. So get your Legacy Supps. Boom.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, next one's from Greg Gandolfini. And the subject is, thought I saw Billy Schmuck body in New Jersey, chased a stranger. Oh, Jesus. Is this the guy that, like, banned him from New Jersey? How you doing, K100? I was on the clock working the other day and looked out the window. He spelled Winda, W-I-N-D-A, because he's from New Jersey.
Nice.
Yeah. Who do you think I saw? Well, I thought I saw Billy Body. I took off, leave my place of business, and chased the poor schmuck down the street. As it turns out, that was it really Billy Body? And I ended up buying the guy a few beers. Has that ever happened to any of yous? He spells it Y-O-U-S-U's. Have you ever confused someone for another person, almost leading to a fight? Let me tell you, if that was really Billy Body, well, you don't want to know what I'd do. Ugh. Well, this, okay, first of all, I've never wanted to fight somebody. You know, Henry Hubbard did that. He thought he saw that. Me and Norman were at the airport with him one time, and he thought he saw somebody. I can't remember who he thought. I think it might have been Joey Ryan. He thought he saw Joey Ryan. He goes, that, and he got up and he was like, going to go over, like, you know, that's not him. Like, he was like getting up out of his chair to go fight a guy that he thought was like Joey Ryan or something. Yeah, you can see Henry Hubbard do that too, can't you, Conan?
What a character, bro. He makes me laugh. He's too much. That I've never seen this. Way too much.
Right, we're going to suspend Greg Gandolfini for an obviously fake story, too. This is, he did not have ears with the guy.
Right, exactly. Here's the thing. Right. And the other one is, he said that he looked out his window and he saw Billy Body. At first, I thought he meant, you know, like when they put you on the highway to pick up trash to fucking, you know, make up for a traffic infraction or some shit. I thought he was one of those. Nothing.
Right. Next is from JJ Claxon from TikTok. He's got a pretty terrible question here. Subject is 101 basic storyline. Hey, K100, I was wondering, what are the basics on creating a weekly television storyline? How you start the story and end it? I start the story with the first act and end it with the fin. How will you start the story with whatever
the thing is?
You
is
write
that,
is
it
bro, the interaction? Every, like, you know, yeah.
Well, every story is different, so you're not going to start it the same.
Right.
So that's right off the bat. So you just got to think of a storyline, and usually the best way to write is think of a story, think who are the guys that are going to be in that storyline. And then you have to have a beginning, a middle, and an ending. You know, some people have it from the minute they write it out, then what the ending is going to be. Some other guys like to work with, we'll see how this goes, and we'll adjust the ending accordingly. But that's basically the basics of it.
The ending is, when you sometimes you have an ending, but the ending is obviously open-ended. Let me give you a perfect example, right? How would you start a story? Let's talk about the Bloodline story, maybe the greatest story of all time. What was the Conan? How did that story start? Do you remember the then I'll say this. This was the start of the story. I get the perfect.
I
don't know exactly what it was. Do you remember what it was? What was it, Conan?
It was breaking up the twins, wasn't it?
No.
I thought it was when Haman was in the Haman got revealed as being in Roman's locker room.
Yes. Haman was in the room with Roman Reigns. That was the first.
Oh, with the Brock Lesnar
scene of the storyline. Yeah. they show Haman in there, and then the camera pans back, and Roman's in there with him.
That's the first scene
of the start of the Bloodline storyline, and it's like, that's an iconic. If we go back, that's kind of an iconic scene in professional wrestling now. The first time Roman Reigns was revealed with Paul Heyman led to the longest, like, one of the most entertaining storylines in the history of professional wrestling, you know? So, like, that's how you
would... Where Brock was like, questioning like, him,
Right, that's a way to start it right there. So that'd be like the first thing you see. Next one's from
Jonathan S.
Oh my god, I can't get my cursor to scroll. Hang on, here we go. Next is Jonathan S. Subject is WWE layoffs. Salutation, K100 crew. With the recent round of cuts done at WWE of in-ring talent, it's got me to think of how criminally underutilized and underrated Dolph Ziggler is. I'm shocked he wasn't offered a job to train the youngsters down in Florida. My question for the entire crew is this. What are your thoughts on these Neanderthals who go on Twitter openly jubilant over wrestlers being laid off? To me, it shows a total lack of class, intelligence, and foolishness to have these inclinations. What do you gentlemen think? That's what Jonathan asked. But of course, wrestling draws these type of people. There's a lot of the wrestling trolls are brutal. But with Dolph Ziggler, I mean, I would say the guy's made a pretty penny in life. Like, I don't think he's this financially is he's set for life. I know he used to he's got enough money where even when he was wrestling, he would come travel to Vegas to go see Guns N' Roses at T-Mobile and come to the club tonight and fly out the next day and go back to touring on TV. So he's got, he's very comfortable in life. So I would say I don't think that Dolph would even be probably interested in training for that job because that's a huge pay cut. You know, he's probably made enough to where he doesn't have to go do that. So what do you think, Conan?
Yeah, bro. He was there for a long time and made some good money. He's always been kind of like a bachelor, right? You know, living that type of bachelor life. And I don't know if he made any money off of stand-up comedy or not, but I can definitely believe that when he leaves wrestling, he'll be attached to a couple projects because he's good looking. Yeah. He can talk, you know, he's likable.
He's acted a little.
I'm sure he'll be okay. Good. He'll do okay. When you look like Dolph Ziggler, you're going to fucking do okay. You know what I'm saying?
Now, Disco,
and
since
the
you
other thing is, the other thing, I'm sorry, Joe, the other thing is that, you know, these people that go online, they're happy that people got fired. It's funny because I bet you anything that 90% of those people that are laughing at other people, if they got fired and people were dragging their name on the fucking internet, they'd probably melt, you know. But what can you say about a person who's got nothing better to do than to go publicly and, you know, trash something and affix their name to it? That tells you all you need to know about that person.
And since that email referenced WWE releases and fans being happy, it made me think of this because someone sent this to me. Apparently, Ryback wasn't very pleased with a recent YouTube clip, RSDI. Had you seen this?
No.
So in the clip, we speculated on Ryback and AEW, and I think I said something like, you know, now that Punk's gone, maybe they'll bring him in. But then again, if they wanted him, they've been around 2-3 years before Punk showed up. Why wouldn't they have brought him in then? And you said, you know, I don't think Tony Khan likes Ryback. So Ryback heard that and he responded, it's very possible Tony Khan doesn't like me, Disco, but it's also possible he does. Truth is, he doesn't know me and we have never met. I'm not cleared and haven't been in years for my shoulder. The sidekick Joe of the show knows better, though. And Joe, I haven't been fit to return to the ring for years. When I am and I'm cleared, we'll see what happens. I will publicly state I don't need to wrestle on any TV promotion to make more money than I ever have and be happy. And then he promotes his action figure. But yeah, he seemed a little pissed.
I inferred
AEW didn't want him, you know. But I was mistaken too. I didn't realize.
I don't know if like I said, AEW could want him. That's not, I'm not saying they could.
Yeah, but not only, it's just an opinion. He's saying, I think they probably wouldn't want him. I'm not sure what that's based on.
No, because here's why.
Oh, because Punk was there.
AEW fan base. No, and the AEW fan base are all these trolls that kind of go after Ryback. So that's what I'm saying. Like, and Tony's kind of in with this fan base and stuff. That's why I think that Tony wouldn't
so
like
bring him in as a fucking heel, bro. They don't like him, and he's. Of course, but here's the thing: if they don't like him and they're gonna boo him, case closed. They made it easy for you, you know.
I thought back in the day they started the Inner Circle that Ryback would have been great in that Jack Swagger spot, you know, with Jericho and Guevara and LAX, but. Wasn't
to say this,
but no, I wasn't aware that his shoulder is what keeps him out of the ring completely. So that is my mistake on that.
But a healthy.
I would like, should be in any organization.
I know you would.
Right. I would like that if you ever met Ryback, he speared you through a window with the bad shoulder. Nothing.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't want to piss Ryback.
Next is from Hank Beanie, the subject's question about snowflakes. Hey guys, Stevie Richards did a breakdown video of the pile driver botched by Ray Phoenix on John Moxley. Stevie was pretty critical of the ref and Tony Khan's actions after the incident. Cool guy Tony Khan seemed to be triggered by the criticism, and he issued a copyright claim that got the video taken down from YouTube. After the takedown, instead of standing up for free speech, wrestling reporter Sean Rossap defended Tony Khan and called Stevie Richards stupid. What do you guys think is worse? A billionaire getting triggered by a critical video or a journalist defending censorship? That's from Handsome Hank. Now, number one, I thought if you use clips for news purposes that you could like use, but I don't know what this the copyright.
It has something to do with time. But, like for the people that do like the music reaction videos that Conan has said that he liked, I think those people are only allowed to air 60 seconds at a clip. If you air more than 60 seconds without comment, stopping and commenting, you can get flagged. There's some kind of rule like that. Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, I'll say this: Sean Rossap is stupid for calling somebody stupid that's talking about injury prevention. Okay, so Sean Rossap is a stupid idiot for calling Stevie Richards. It's like the guy posted a clip. Everybody should be like, "Why are you taking down a clip that's showing the risk of injury prevention risk and stuff?" Like, but then they're saying, "No, he's stupid for putting it up." Okay, fine. Then the wrestler's getting hurt is good for the business. Continue promoting wrestlers getting hurt, Sean. You know, if you want to go do that, then go ahead. So that's, I don't know. It's unbelievable. Like a person has literally put up a video talking about like how he could get hurt doing professional wrestling, and they're taking the clip down. Everybody's like, yeah, take it down. I mean, I just can't wrap my head around that. What Cody, what you got any comment on this?
Well, it's almost a form of censorship, right? I think that Tony bro, I can't understand how he doesn't understand, because I've sat with him a lot and he is bright, very bright. How can he understand that you're not going to be, you're not going to be able to control everybody says or thinks. It's like, remember, Meltzer's a lot of times has had a lot of words to say about AEW and not favorably. Okay. He had that interview with Ariel Helwani where Helwani was like, that was a terrible interview. You know, bro, at the end of the day, you can't control what everybody says, what they think. You can't censor everything. Just let it go, bro. You know, people can talk whatever they want to talk, and it's up to you to prove them wrong and put up a better product. That's it. You know, you can't be going on there and be triggered by what this guy said or what that guy said. But I'm sure somebody put the video to him. I'm assuming he didn't see it himself. But however it happened, bro, don't you got more important things to do than worrying about what people are saying? I mean, that's got to be a task and a half.
Bro, you got three shows to write. You got a football team. You got three shows to write. A football team to manage.
And you want to know, right?
And like literally, you're like that took up some of your time. You don't have any time.
And you want to know who's talking bad about the company on socials. You know,
right?
That's you're a putting time Twitter, and effort Instagram, into that. Facebook, right?
It's a waste of time. Yeah. For somebody that needs all the time.
Hey, newsflash, my friend. Not everybody is going to like what you're doing. Just like they don't like K100. Right. Just like they don't like some people don't like WWE. Some people, it's always going to be there, bro. You can't be universally loved and accepted by everybody because it's not attainable.
Next is from Jeffrey Lang. Subject is Conan. Hey, everyone. Love your show. Questions for Conan. Since Dolph and Shelton got released from WWE, there's a lot of speculation about them going to AEW. How would you use it if they came to work for you? Also, you were all talking about gloat t-shirts, and D.I. asked what a good t-shirt for him could be. How about G.O.A.T., greatest interrupter of all time? Best from Jeffrey Bravo. Wait, that's a suspension for Jeffrey Lane for 1 week, too. Yeah.
Is that a bad idea?
Let's suspend him for a week, Joe, for Jeffrey Lane. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How would you use Conan? How would you use those guys, Dolph and Shelton?
Bro, I'd have to sit down and think about it. You know, this is like that booking isn't that fucking easy, but I'd have to sit down and think about it. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff there to work with. So that's half my battle right there. I mean, I already won half the battle. They already have a name from WWE. They're in good shape. They can go, they're professional. So, you know, any storyline, bro, pick one.
Let me ask you guys this, with Dolph being on the market and speculation, of course, that AEW will use him, bring him in, even though it's, you know, so crowded there and everything, do you think Dolph could step in and be like a main eventer? Could you see Dolph and chasing the title or anything like that at AEW?
No. I don't have any confidence in any creative things at AEW. Like if you say, can you see Dolph do this? I would say no. He'd be on TV in a random match against a guy. He'll come out and wrestle for what's the match where there's no angles? They just defend the title every week. The TNT championship or the international championship. Uh-huh. I could see him coming out and wrestling for the international championship and like, it's, you know, and then you don't see him for 2 weeks. That's what I think they would do with Dolph. Right? I have zero confidence in the creative over there to do anything.
We were talking about their fan base earlier. And the thing about that fan base is they're going to, Dolph would be huge there because they're going to look at him as underutilized, unfairly released, never been pushed
Joe,
the way he should have.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Joe. And if he gets signed there, would you have a positive outlook of what they would do with him or a negative outlook?
I think that Dolph would succeed there in spite of anything that was handed to him that wasn't it. Because I just think the crowd would like him that much that they wouldn't give anybody a choice.
Give me five guys that have succeeded there.
MJF, Guevara, Darby, Orange Cassidy, and Britt Baker. Britt Baker counts. You know, I'm just going by people that weren't named before.
What do all those people have in common?
They're originals there? I don't know.
None of them are from WWE.
Well, yeah, I did that on purpose. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So there's not a WWE, like people coming from WWE. I think Tony has this perception that he can't push them strong because of like their, you know, he doesn't want to make it look like WWE. But that's what I would see with Dolph Ziggler. They would bring him in and put him in a position to lose to the guys on the roster that he should not be losing to. That is what I think they would do with Dolph Ziggler. And I would, I bet that happens if they sign him. You will be talking about this like 3 months from now. I will bring up this clip and say he'll be losing.
But
the
it's
guys
funny because let me tell you what's funny about this, Glenn. That I think there's something to that because I think his fans, a lot of them, they hated WWE and they wanted an alternative and they don't want WWE wrestlers. But there is a case where he has pushed a WWE wrestler. Look at Christian Cage.
Jericho.
Has he really though?
Yes. Compared to the other guys, Cage gets a lot of mic time. He's the manager of the fucking guy. You know, he's been in a couple of Jungle Boy, right? And Chris Jericho's another guy that, bro, Jericho's all over the place.
Yeah, but Jericho, that's
he was also, and I read this in an interview recently, and I'm sure Joe might have too, where he said, like, I went to see Jericho when I was a fan, and he was always one of the first guys I wanted to reach out to. So he was you know what I'm saying? But he is from WWE. Those are two guys right there.
I can see – here's what I can see Dolph doing. I don't know if he'd be babyface or heel, but, like, joining up with, like, a group that has, like, former WWE guys. Like, so it's like Cesaro and Moxley. Like, he'll go – I don't know. It's like, bro, he's not a – he's, you know, Dolph is a great worker. Good promos, everything, but definitely not anybody that's going to, you know, move the dial at all. Right now, I mean, a few years ago, maybe they just hadn't been on TV.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Enough. Yeah. Next one, Jason Turbin.
Now you mentioned that. I just wanted to say, sorry, that... You mentioned Dolph teaming up with Cesaro and Moxley and stuff like that, the Blackpool Combat Club, which are all supposed to be legitimate tough guys, whatever. I don't know if you knew this, but Dolph went undefeated and has the most wins. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
absolutely right. That's why I was saying that. He's trying to go with those guys.
I'd like to see Dolph put you in a wizard. Nothing.
Next is from Jason Turpin about James J. Dillon. Hey, guys. Stevie Richards did an interview with Wall Street WSI. What's WSI?
WSI? Wall Street Journal?
No, that's WSJ.
I think it's WSJ. Oh, it's WSI.
Wrestling,
I don't know.
Sports. I don't know.
Oh, wrestling shoot interviews. Wrestling shoot interviews.
Okay. Where he credited J.J. Dillon helping Raven get over in WCW. Put over the segments J.J. had with Raven where they were negotiating a contract. J.J. had a similar gimmick going with Sting when they were negotiating the 97 match with Hogan. Stevie said J.J. and Mean Gene would never rehearse. All their dialogue was improvised live. It's pretty impressive to watch some of these segments back. JJ and Mean Gene would talk for 95% of the segment, then Raven or Sting would do something and be super over. Mean Gene gets his credit, but how important do you think JJ Dillon was in getting some of these guys over? And looking at AEW today, do you think Tony Khan could benefit using a WCW JJ Dillon type character? Thanks, and that's from Jason Turpin. Let me tell you exactly why that happened, okay? And Conan will tell you this too. Like, so bro, we grew up in a different era of wrestling. These guys would come out of Florida Championship Wrestling. They would come to the podium there or the desk, and Gordon would be there. And so, you know, and they would conduct an interview. Bro, these are not scripted interviews. They would go out there live on camera and conduct wrestling interviews with the announcer asking them questions unscripted, bro, because they were so comfortable in their characters and doing it on a weekly basis. That J.J. Dillon could turn the light on and be J.J. Dillon and walk out and know exactly what he would say given any situation question asked him because he was that confident in his character. That's how easy it was for guys like that. Bro, how many times – like, we never had to script anything with Mean Gene.
When
we used to do all the market specs and stuff, and Lee Marshall, bro, we would just go because they were just good. They'd done so many of them. They're comfortable. It's not rehearsed. It's not – they're just – we're just soundboarding off each other, you know? And that's how good those guys were.
That was funny because – I've watched a couple old ones because you used to be a lot on the Saturday night thing doing backstage. And I'd always laugh because I knew there was no way they knew what you were going to talk about because you didn't get together. You know, you just sold the match
right, or
the city you were in. And I remember you'd always say, oh, tonight I'm going to go disco dancing with all my girls and all this. And he goes, I better, you know, and you would just feed off each other and you knew when to end it. It was fucking great. I was the same way.
And
you know, I had
and
great,
the shtick was
I had great right.
It was always so simple because our shtick on all these market specs was always similar or the same. We're gonna go party right at the club after the show. We wanna hook up for some tickets. Okay. So it's just like if you know that's what you're gonna talk about, this is a very simple to do those promos, you know? So yeah.
And there's one, it's a funny one where the Filthy Animals come in. And we're inviting him to come party with us. And he's like, really, where? He goes, you know, and he would catch himself. Because,
right.
I mean,
right.
he was, bro, Gene was great. Lee Marshall was great.
Yeah. Right. There's one funny one I can remember specifically where D.I. comes in to promote, like, Super Brawl with Lee Marshall. And he's like, yeah, we'll be in San Fran and Disco Inferno main event and the TV champion. And Lee's like, wait a minute, Disco. It's already been announced. You're well aware Hogan and Sting are main eventing. And of course, you'd be like, what do you mean? No, I'm the main event. Coming to San Francisco, Cow Palace, whatever. I just thought that was funny.
Right.
Next for David Bentz, subject to study the game. Dear K100 crew, over the years I've heard a few shoot interviews with some talents admit to not watch your matches back. Conan Disco, just what is your opinions on watching back your matches to improve versus solely going off others' opinions on what you should work on? Also, with summer over, I wish Disco luck with this fantasy football league this season. Boy, do I need it. My team is disarray. Love your opinions and Joe props on choice of music for the ads. I acknowledge y'all more than color me bad. Take care, and that's David from Sacramento. All right, you didn't ask a question, so we're going to have to suspend you for a week from mailbag. Bro, this is called a K100 questions. Okay, we don't mind being put over, but have a question because we want to reference something we could talk about. Next is from John Roddy, and the subject is Tony Khan cannot be this stupid. Matt Riddle, one of the dumbest guys.
Oh, wait. Yeah, this guy, Benz, did ask a question. He wanted your opinion on watching your matches back to improve or going off others' opinions. Yeah. I'll keep him suspended anyway, though.
Oh, yeah. Just wanted your opinions on watching back your matches. So didn't okay. I used to watch my back for a period of time there, but then like, you know, I don't know. I probably watch about 50% of my stuff back. If there's stuff that I thought I did wrong, or if it was really good or really bad, I would watch it back. If it was like so, I didn't care.
It's very weird because I always watch my match back like as soon as I could. And then after that, I never watched it again ever. So there's a lot of stuff that, you know, I don't even remember that pops up and I'm seeing it for the first time in 25 years.
Matt Riddle, one of the dumbest guys in wrestling today, finally got himself fired by WWE, and really, it was coming for a long, long time. Failing drug tests, accusing people of sexual assault in public, going to porno conventions while working for a PG company, talking shit about top names online, failing drug tests, etc. It's amazing that he lasted as long as he did. Question for K100. Is Tony Khan is stupid enough to think, yeah, that's who we need on our roster? Can Matt Riddle wrestle? Yes. He's a great talent. When I seen him on NXT, I assumed he's going to easily become a WWE champion, but he's an F-up. If AEW signs him, do you think there's a chance it could just end up being another Jeff Hardy situation? I don't know the guy, so I can't comment on that. But, I mean, I heard he's getting his life back together, so we'll see. But there's always a risk involved with something like that. I can't comment. I don't know the guy.
I don't know that he's – go ahead, Conan.
I just think that, unfortunately, I don't think Tony can help himself. You know, he's like – it's almost like when the if you're like a sneakerhead and the new sneaker comes out and you just have to have it, you know what I'm saying? And but Dominic always puts him over as being really cool. Obviously, he's kind of a rebel, or is a rebel, and he lasted this long because he had talent and he was over. But I guess that shit that happened in the airport was the straw that broke the camel's back.
What happened in the airport?
Yeah. And
well, he accused. Go ahead.
He accused the security guard or whatever that patted him down of sexual harassment. Like he groped him or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Right. And I think he screamed out loud, like, what are you doing? You know, and all this other, and like he made a real big scene.
Yeah. And it became an official investigation and all that. And I, you know, but I don't know that Riddle will go there. Just, I mean, I know you never say never, but I think like his history in locker rooms and stuff, even though Conan just referenced Dom saying he's cool, like he's had some problems and there's guys in AEW that don't like him, guys with power. So.
Testers, thank you for stating the obvious, show. Next is from John Kamepa, and the subject is Conan's negotiations. One of the single most irritating things, Joe, we got to get, you're kind of like the Harry, the Walter Cronkite of the broadcast. Like you'll state the most obvious thing. You know,
I'll take it.
One of the single most irritating things about being a longtime listener of the show is that you guys keep getting emails asking the same questions over and over again. Case in point, watch a K100 video mailbag clip right now, and some effing moron thinks he's the first person to ever ask Conan about his experiences at the WWE Hall of Fame earlier this year. Don't these idiots know how to use YouTube? There's a clip that has good views. It's like a half hour long, and Conan goes into complete detail. Regarding that Hall of Fame clip, though, Conan, at one point you mentioned being in negotiations regarding that Hall of Fame. Can you go into detail what exactly was negotiated? Could we start seeing Conan appear in WWE video games, action figures, etc.? P.S. Conan, another one about YouTube. There's an image that's often used of you, and it shows a scar you have on your cheek. Do you remember how you got it?
The scar on my cheek, Conan, was from an auto accident. I was in a... At that time, I used to drive a Ferrari, and I was in Tijuana, and I had just left the club, and I hadn't slept, and I fell asleep at the wheel, and I hit a fucking light post on the street. Thank God I didn't hit somebody. It was at night, but I hit a light post, and I busted up my face, and bro, this is what I'm going to tell you. It was very weird, but it happened, and people were running up to me, and they were fucking cleaning my blood with napkins and shit like that, and then later asking me to sign it. But but that's how I got the scar in the cheek. Yeah.
Is there anything notable about your negotiations with WWE that to answer this guy's question? Yeah,
I can't really get into too much detail because it could happen, but it was just me working alongside some people there that would have been something cool, and it's still hanging in the air. You know, it may not happen. It may. Obviously, if I see, you know, a bit of time passes and it doesn't happen, then I'll tell you exactly what it was. And it's a pretty cool idea.
Next is from Harrison Yangster. The subject is Ziggler means nothing. Even the biggest AEW marks have to admit that right now, AEW has literally zero big matches left. I'm a fan of AEW, but MJF versus Mojo happened in a venue that's 60% full, despite 5 to 6 weeks of huge, promotion. It's just a bad sign of their future. So, of course, the IWC is cooking up dream matches now that WWE cut a bunch of names. The one everyone's hyped about is Dolph Ziggler. Why? He's just another white, blonde, blue-eyed guy in his mid-40s. If he's good as the IWC thinks he is, WWE would push him to the top. He asked me, Ziggler goes to AEW, cuts the insider comment-laced anti-WWE promo, works with MJF for Jericho, then is back to boring old shit like everyone else. Now, this is just my opinion. What do you three guys think? We already kind of referenced this in the previous email, so we'll double up. But I will say this. I want to make a comment. You know, WWE is selling out everything right now. AEW is having a lot of problems filling in arenas, especially for live TVs. Bro, and this is the problem with, you know, booking a show for your fan base and not growing your fan base. You don't have enough fans viewing your product to fill seats for your shows. You have to increase the amount of fans that watch the product so they'll go to the shows. They're not doing that. You know, and that would you agree with that, Conan? That they need to start changing their model because
we brought that up. We've brought that up a million times. Hey, it's cool that you're over serving your hardcore public because it's very loyal, but you need to grow that thing to, with all these incoming contracts and, you know, if you want to up your production, whatever it is, I mean, you're here to make money, not just to please the fan. You got to have a healthy balance between the two. And, you know, so yeah, I agree with you.